Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mkandawira, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Malote. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am doing well too, thank you.
Yes, man, I'm only excited because the Sabbath is already on the horizon, eh?
I am excited too. I am too.
Beautiful stuff, man. Beautiful. So I cannot hold it. I wish it could be Sabbath already. But hey, let me be patient. Let's do first things first. Let's learn. Now we're concluding the discussion, creating time for God in a busy life. And hardly anything good comes easy. And that includes daily devotions. They don't come easy. You know, the enemies to time in scripture and prayer are broadly threefold. Firstly, our flesh would much rather than do something, anything else. Secondly, it's Satan. Much rather we do something else. And then thirdly, the world offers plenty of other things, multiplied by the distractions of technology, media, etc., etc. So yes, this will be tough, but how much does the quantity of time we spend with God matter? Now, Pastor, is it possible to spend too much time with God? We say, no, man, this time that we are spending, Pastor, with God is too much.
we don't have a life long enough to ever spend with God, unfortunately. Okay. So, no, there's no time too much because our lives will never be that long enough. Scripture tells us a story. Let me just read this. It's in three verses. Genesis chapter 5. I could have used many other examples, that of Moses or David, but let's use this one because this is the longest time period the Bible gives us. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. Let me just read them. Genesis 5, 22 to 24. The Bible says, "And after he got Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters." Verse 23, the Bible says, "So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch," again, the Bible repeats in verse 24, "and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." So Enoch lives 365 years, but out of those years, 300, scripture says he walked, he dedicated, he spent with God. Now, we will never be like Enoch. We will never have 300 years. And so, no, there is not enough time that we can ever spend with God in devotion. Now, listen to what Jesus himself says about spending time with him. This he says in the book of John, that famous part, John chapter 14. You know that verse, but let me just read it to you. John 14, verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be." Now, when you ask Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul tells us that when we are caught up together with the dead in Christ, when we are caught up in the air to meet the Lord, we shall ever be with the Lord. John in Revelation couples this idea and says, we shall come down after the millennium. We shall come down with the Lord, and Jesus will always ever be with us. And so God is actually intentional that we spend the rest of our lives with him. And he is desirous for that moment when we shall spend eternity with him. And so, in honesty, while on this side of the earth, there will never be enough time. And even when we make it to eternity, even that will not be enough time. It will not be too much time because God wants us to be ever with him. And so scripture tells us, there's no such thing as too much time with God because we don't have too we don't have long enough a life to spend time with God.
Interesting. Now, how do you define quality in devotion? What are the key elements that make a time of devotion truly transformative and qualitative?
I want to begin by accepting the fact that our definition of quality could be very subjective. But so, because of that, I would like it to be as simple as possible. And so, however we define quality time, if we're speaking about spending time in devotion with God, a time that will be transformative to our lives, then quality time must involve a two-way communication between us and God. We must be able to speak with Him, and we must be able to hear Him speak back with us. When that happens in your time of devotion, then you've spent quality time. And so whatever the ingredients that you have in your devotion, this element must be able to happen. You hear God speak back with you as you speak with Him. Then you'll have spent quality time. However you choose to define it, that element should be a part of that definition.
You see that.
And when you speak of the elements that you would want to have in your devotional time with God, number one would be dependence on God's providence. You need to be dependent on Him. Away from self, focus on God and depend on Him. And then secondly, a humble and teachable attitude, so that when you go to spending time with God, you humble yourself in His presence, you are reverent enough, so much so that when He speaks with you, you are teachable, you then change. That time makes you transform. Then, speaking of that attitude, a prayerful willingness to hear that still small voice of God is one of those elements that is very needful in a time of devotion, so that it couples with your attitude of being teachable. You are willing to hear the voice of God, and you ask for it in prayer. So your devotion must be a prayerful devotion, so that you speak with God and He speaks back with you, and you show your dependency throughout the time you're with Him. And that would be very transformative when you spend time with God.
Beautiful stuff. Now, what are the risks of focusing too much on the quantity of the devotion time? So if I'm focused with, no, I need to at least spend this hour, and then I start and say, and after 25 minutes, I'm like, ooh, okay, no, the hour is not finished. Yeah. Let me go ahead. And then at 35 minutes later, I'm like, ooh, okay, I've not reached the hour. What else can I do? Okay, let me just fill up the time. And then, wow, then an hour, whew, done. And then let me go and shower and then go. What are the risks of focusing too much on the quantity of time?
First of all, I see a likelihood to lose our focus from God. And so because we are focusing on, I need to have this much time and it must be this quiet, no disturbances. So a little disturbance just throws you off your tangent and you go back to, we might lose our focus on God and focus on other things, because we make our time with God dependent on other things rather than simply being with God at whatever time, whatever circumstances. And then secondly, the challenging circumstances around us might even lead us to abandon devotion activities. Because truth be told, nothing will ever be perfect in this world. And so when you're focusing on the quality of your devotion, and then the circumstances around you do not allow such quality, you might want to wait until the circumstances allow that quality for you to then make your time with God. And that might never happen, because the truth is the devil will actually never allow it.
Yeah,
the world will always be throwing stuff at us. And even our own flesh might be working against us. And so when we're too focused on quality, We might even abandon devotional activities, waiting for the right moment, which might never come.
And then, on the contrary, what would you say are risks of a purely spontaneous, quality-focused approach that lacks consistency or discipline?
Oh, yeah. I love the inclusion of those two words, consistency and discipline, because really, if a devotional life is anything to speak of, it must have consistency and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Because those two things form our relationship, our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Because if we say we have a relationship with God and we are Christians, born again and washed in his blood, there must be a pattern in which we live our life. So a lifestyle that we live must tell of the story of our conversion, of our meeting with this God we claim to be worshiping. Mm-hmm. So consistency and discipline are very key but then again, discipline is created by consistency.
Yeah.
And so if there's no consistency, discipline will not happen. Now, in scripture, the Bible tells us this is a fact that we ought to understand as we grapple with making time for God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, then we'll go back to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 14 and verse 38. So let's just begin with Galatians. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, scripture tells us this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Paul speaking, and he says, or maybe I should just begin from verse 16. This is what he says at verse 16. Then I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, my interest. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit. Mm-hmm. So that you do not do the things you wish to do.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you wish to do devotions, quality devotion, God, and we'll fight against the spirit. Thus, the flesh will make you not do what you want to do. And so, when we are dealing with the idea of consistency and discipline, we need to make sure that we are so consistent, so disciplined, that we allow the spirit to take over and win its fight against the flesh. Mm-hmm. In the book of Mark, in chapter 14, in verse 38, Jesus speaks to his disciples. So he takes Peter, James, and John, and he goes with them to pray. And the brothers sleep. And Jesus comes back to them, he finds them asleep. And so he rebukes them. Couldn't you just watch with me for an hour? Then he answers his own question. And then he says to them, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. That's verse 38, chapter 14. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, in its weakness, the flesh is a very powerful thing against the things of God. In its weakness, it is a very strong enemy against the things of the spirit. And so, in its weakness, when we leave it in its weakness, the flesh will make us lose our quality time, our desire for even having devotions at all. Now, when we leave devotional discipline to spontaneity, we put ourselves at the mercy of circumstances.
Yeah.
And you know what? Our circumstances will never have mercy on us. Because, you know, our circumstances are controlled by the devil, the world, and the flesh. Just like you put it in your introduction, these three things war against our souls, and they will never have mercy on us. And so, when we leave devotional activities to spontaneity, we are actually disadvantaging ourselves. We will not be nourishing our spirits. We will not be growing. We will not be transforming, because we are leaving it to the enemy, who doesn't want us to grow. And so we have to be disciplined and we have to be consistent in our devotional activities.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that so much. Now, how does praying through scripture enhance the quality of prayer time? Mm-hmm.
Ah, beautiful question. I love this question. I love it because I love the book of Psalms. And for me, I use the book of Psalms to teach how to pray. Mm. And so I love this question. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things, a number of things that praying through scripture does to us in our praying. First of all, the word of God will never fail. And so knowing this gives us an assurance that our prayers are not amiss. So when you pray according to the scriptures, then you know you are praying according to the will of God. So you're not praying amiss. And that assurance alone, even when your prayers are not answered immediately, but when you pray that you have prayed according to the will of God, it makes you hold on to faith so much so that even when you don't see the answers to your prayers, you can hold on and wait for God's time. Secondly, praying according to scriptures makes us to pray within and according to the will of God, because this is written and we know it and we see it. It is written, so it is according to his will. Thirdly, it teaches us to pray. You know, I have met a lot of people who are asked to pray and they say, no, I don't know how to pray.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
When you pray according to the scriptures, I mean, when you use the scriptures to pray, you actually learn how to pray, so much so that after a few attempts of praying according to scriptures, you may not even need to go back to the scriptures in the first place, because you have known, you have been taught by the scriptures mm. how to pray.
Mm.
And so that is what it does. And it also shows us the examples of the saints of old, how they prayed and how they got answers to their prayers. So it's quite important to pray according to the scriptures. Then lastly, it also teaches us the attributes of God to which we appeal in our prayers when we pray to him. You see, an example is that of David. David would appeal to certain attributes of God. Sometimes he would appeal to his mercies. Sometimes he would appeal to his righteousness. You know, his enemies are evil and they're pursuing him. And God says, you are righteous. These are evil. So you do right by me because of your righteousness. You see, when we pray according to scriptures, we pray according to we appeal to the attributes of God that scripture reveals to us. And that is a very powerful way to pray.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Pastor, we've been together with you since Monday, looking at this subject from side to side, inside out, etc. What are some of the words that you would, want to leave with us, with the listeners, in as far as what we've discussed this week? Perhaps very important, the not to forget, as it were.
Let me leave you with three words. These are words we have dealt with all throughout the week. They're not new words. But before I do, let me just say that it is incumbent upon us to spend time with God.
Mm.
You see, in the book of John, Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to heaven. And then as he is going to heaven, they are despondent. But he says to them, it is expedient that I go.
Mm.
Because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. But the Holy Spirit must come. And when he comes, the Bible says, verse 13, chapter 16, John. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. This is why we need to spend time with God, read his word, because how else are we ever going to know the things to come if we don't read them in the scriptures? The Holy Spirit needs to reveal these things to us, but they're already written in the scriptures. So until we spend time with God, reading his word, praying to him, we will not be revealed to these things that God has already written in the scriptures. Now, that's why it is important for us to spend time with God. Mm. Now, as for spending time with God, mm-hmm. I would like to leave these three words yep. with you. Mm-hmm. Discipline, deliberateness, and consistency.
Ah.
These are the three things that make us grow in our spending time with God. Mm-hmm. We need discipline. Yep. We need to be deliberate mm-hmm. in our allocation of time for devotion. And as we do so, we need to be consistent, because consistency will create discipline. And discipline will transform us into creatures that are ever feeding on the truth and ever receiving the light of God, of God's word. Mm. Amen.
Amen and amen indeed. Pastor Mkandawira, thank you so much. You've been so kind, very generous amen. With your time as well. May God bless you. May God keep you, and may he shine his countenance upon you, and you may flourish in your ministry. And until we speak again, thank you so much and happy Sabbath ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed the week. Thank you for hosting me. It was lovely. Thank you so much. Blessings to you too and to all our listeners. And happy Sabbath indeed.
Lovely. Goodbye.
Amen.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.